Do other people make you sin with your words? Here's Mary Cassian.
What comes out of your mouth, what you say, how you respond to circumstances, that's your responsibility. Your husband doesn't make you say nasty things. It's you.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, co-author of True Woman 101, Divine Design. For March 13th, 2020, I'm Dana Gresh. I hope your celebration of the resurrection of Jesus was joyful and heartfelt, even though many of us are still unable to attend church physically. Thankfully, the kingdom of God has no walls, no borders. Well, both last week and this week on Revive Our Hearts, we're focusing on how we use our words. It's important to speak words of blessing and peace to those around us. I think that's especially important right now in our families, as we might be getting tired of being around each other so much. Here's our host, Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, with more.
Did you realize that your tongue is like a steering wheel? Your words set a navigation for your whole day. Mary Cassian will tell us why today. Now, if you've listened to Revive Our Hearts for any length of time, you know that Mary Cassian is a dear friend of this ministry. She's written a book called Conversation Peace, that's P-E-A-C-E, and it's all about the way we use our words. And I think that's one of the most important topics that we could consider as women of God. So I asked Mary if she would come and be a guest teacher on Revive Our Hearts and help us explore this topic about the way that we use our words. Now, Mary's from Canada, so you'll notice that occasionally she uses phrases like hand to the tiller. What she means is hold on to the steering wheel. So let's listen as Mary challenges us to use our words for God's glory.
A girlfriend of mine once told me that she'd started using peppermint lotion on her feet so that when she stuck her foot in her mouth, as she was in the habit of doing, it wouldn't taste quite so bad. Have you ever stuck your foot in your mouth? I certainly have. Have you said something wrong? Have you said too much or said something in the wrong way? Have you been at a loss for words? Have you ever had trouble getting your point across? Or have you ever left a conversation feeling wounded and hurt and shredded, as it were, by someone's words? Do you find it difficult to communicate and connect with people at a level that's deeper than surface level? Is it a challenge for you to address tough issues without going into battle mode and without defending and attacking? Well, today, we're going to start a series on what the Bible has to say about speech and communication. Now, there are plenty of books available on communication. I went on to Amazon.com and checked it out, and there are over 19,000 books available in the communication skills category. And there's roughly 3,000 in parenting and relationships communication, 1,700 titles in the interpersonal relationship category, and another 6,500 titles in the self-help, I'm going to transform myself, I'm going to get my communication together self-help category. So, altogether, there are at least 60,000 book titles on interpersonal communication, and double that if you include communication that happens in the workplace. And that staggering figure tells me two things. First of all, how very desperate people are to learn how to communicate well. And second, that the answer is probably not found in those 60,000 books. You can learn communication techniques and skills, and you can learn all those skills, and some are extremely helpful. But if you don't address the issues of your heart, the techniques alone won't cure your communication problems. Because at their deepest root, communication problems are spiritual problems, and they require spiritual solutions. And for that, we have to turn to God. In this series, we'll be studying powerful speech-transforming elements that are based on the Bible. God sets up a high standard for our speech and also for our thoughts and attitudes. And even more important, he reveals the secret of how to reach that standard. And we reach it when we tap into his power. There's not magic words or formulas or phrases. There's not a right technique for communication per se. It's about God transforming our speech by transforming our hearts and changing us from the inside out. So today's element of transformed speech is what I call the power of navigation. It's realizing and taking responsibility for the fact that our tongues determine the direction of our lives. Where I go today depends on what I say today. The Bible compares the tongue to a rudder of a ship and to a bit in the mouth of a horse. And though relatively small, all three of these, the rudder, the bit, and the tongue, have tremendous power. A rudder turns a ship, a bit turns a horse, and our tongues turn our lives in the direction that we're going to go. The power of navigation is the element of speech that's discussed in the book of James, chapter 3. And we're going to work our way through that passage, James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. And we're going to make some observations about the tongue. So let me start off by reading verses 2 to 4. James chapter 3, 2 to 4. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. Now, the first observation about the tongue that I want to make from this passage is that your tongue is your primary steering mechanism. It determines your direction. Remember, a rudder turns a ship, a bit turns a horse, and our tongues turn our lives in the direction that we will go. The comparison between controlling our tongues and steering ships reminds me of one of the worst nautical accidents in Greece's history. There was a captain of a Greek ferry, and he put his ship on autopilot. Now, captains are required to man the bridge whenever they're approaching the port for the last 7 miles of their journey, but he had sailed the route several times during the week, and he was pretty confident of the autopilot settings. So he took a nap, and the first officer and the crew left the bridge to watch a soccer match on television. And no one noticed when strong undercurrents took that ferry, which is called the Express Samina, and that ferry began to drift off course. 2 miles from its destination, the vessel struck a rocky islet, and it sank. The islet was clearly marked with a light beacon. No attentive seaman would have missed it. But the captain was sleeping, and he was unaware that his autopilot was taking his ship into disaster. 82 lives were lost, and most of them were tourists. The ship was on its way to this beautiful Greek island where they were going to have a wonderful vacation, but their promising vacation ended up in tragedy and loss. And the captain and the crew were charged with murder, neglect of duty, and violation of maritime procedures. How foolish of that captain to abandon the helm and to neglect the wheel of his vessel. And yet that's precisely what we often do with our mouths. We put them on autopilot and we fail to pay attention to the words that are coming out of our mouths. Your tongue is a steering mechanism. Your tongue navigates your ship. The word navigate comes from Latin words. Navis means ship and a gear means to drive. So to navigate is to plan, steer, and manage your movement and your course. And James notes that although ships are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. And if a ship is not directed, it will be at the mercy of the wind and the currents and will be lost or shattered on the rocks. Do you know that that Greek captain made all kinds of excuses about his behavior? He blamed the circumstances, he blamed the ship, he blamed the crew, but he was the captain. It was his responsibility to drive that ship. James says, look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So the challenge here is to accept responsibility for how you pilot your mouth. What comes out of your mouth, what you say, how you respond to circumstances, that's your responsibility. Your husband doesn't make you say nasty things. It's you. You choose to say nasty things. Your children do not make you irritable and snappy. It's you. You choose to pilot your tongue that way. And what about that quirky, aggravating coworker that gives you reason to complain? She's not responsible for that behind-the-back cutting remark that you said. You are. You choose to pilot your tongue onto the rocks of slander and criticism. Your tongue is your primary steering mechanism. It determines your direction. So you need to pay attention and steer it in the direction you want it to go. Let's continue reading in James chapter 3. We'll pick up where we left off, verse 5. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. Wow, those are some strong metaphors. Very strong metaphors, full of deadly poison. Second observation I want to make about the tongue is that your tongue has tremendous potential for good or for ill. It's either going to build up or it's going to tear down. It's a relatively small part of your body, but it plays a big part in your life. The average human tongue is only 4 inches long. It contains 8 muscles, so it can go up, down, side to side, speak. It weighs only 2.5 ounces, but this small part of the body gets us into bucket loads of trouble, doesn't it? James compares the power of a tongue to a spark of fire and to the power of an untamable wild animal. There's tremendous capacity, more power than we realize or can even begin to imagine. Words are so powerful. Words can heal, words can cripple. They can cultivate like a plow, they can draw blood like a dagger. Words make or break relationships. They can build up or they can tear down. They can bring peace or they can bring conflict. Words determine the destiny of individuals, families, communities, and nations. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." That's a lot of power. Death and life. Words matter. They're not benign. They have consequences. They have personal consequences. The people of Israel, after being delivered from Egypt, were grumbling and complaining against God. They told God, "You brought us out here to make us suffer. We're going to die out here in the wilderness." And God told them in Numbers 14:28, "The very things that you've said out of your own mouths will happen." So that whole generation did die in the wilderness. And it wasn't because God wanted it. It was because the people got what they themselves said. Our words also carry consequences for others. Even though Jacob tricked his father Isaac to get the blessing, once Isaac had spoken the blessing, he couldn't retract it. Isaac said, "I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." He couldn't take his words back. They were going to have an effect. It reminds me of the story of Karen Carpenter, the singer who was so disturbed when a reporter referred to her as Richard Carpenter's chubby little sister that she started on a destructive cycle of anorexic behavior and eventually starved herself to death. It's the whole principle of sowing and reaping. What we sow with our words has consequences for what we reap, and it also impacts what happens in the lives of others. When you say to yourself, I'm a failure, I'll never succeed, I'm a terrible mom, or you complain, I'm falling apart, I'm so stressed, I just can't take it anymore. Or when you say, nobody loves me, your words have consequences. When you say to your husband, you are such an idiot. Or you say to your child, you can't do anything right. Or you're so lazy. Or you say about your leader behind his back, he's so incompetent. Your words have consequences. They have an effect, and you can't control what kind of effect they will have. The Chicago Fire in 1871 was allegedly started by a cow knocking over a lantern. It was such a small, seemingly insignificant event, but it burned down an entire city. And James says that our words have that kind of destructive power. How great a force is set ablaze by such a small fire. Sadly, many of you listeners are living with the tragic, destructive effects of words. Words that you've spoken, or words that have been spoken to you, and you know just how powerful words can be. James continues in chapter 3, verse 8, no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. So here, James is addressing an inconsistency that he sees in the lives of his Christian friends. The way they talked to God was very healthy and positive, but the way they talked to people was very unhealthy and negative. So they blessed God, but they cursed people. They praised God, but they criticized people. They build God up, but they put people down. They express gratitude for God's actions, but for their kids' actions, they only express disapproval. They use nice, clean, religious language when they pray, but they cuss and they use crass language when they're joking with their friends. They speak respectfully to God, but are sassy and disrespectful towards authority figures. For God, they demonstrate courtesy, but toward the cashier at the till that's moving so slow, or that driver who cuts them off in traffic, they're rude. James said, this doesn't add up. This is a sign that something's not right. This ought not to be. So the third observation about the tongue I want to make is that your tongue reveals what's under the surface. It's a marker of your maturity. And when your words are snappy or unkind, impatient, and when they're deceitful or rude or critical, it's an indication that something in your heart isn't right and that you have some growing up to do. Your religious behavior may be impeccable. You may have devotions every morning. Maybe you lead a Bible study and go to church every week. But the way you speak in your home, the way you speak to your family, your husband, your children, your mother-in-law, your parents, your coworkers, your neighbors, and your enemies, that's where the rubber hits the road when it comes to our Christian lives. And that's the true mark of our maturity. Our mouths are like spiritual barometers. They reveal what's going on under the surface. James says in chapter 1, verse 26, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Pretty strong words again. James says that if your relationship with God isn't impacting your mouth in the way you relate and speak to others, then your religion is worthless. A problem with your mouth indicates that there's a problem in your heart. So to recap, we've made three observations about the tongue from this passage. First of all, your tongue is your primary steering mechanism. It determines your direction. Where you go today depends on what you say today. Number two, your tongue has tremendous potential. It will build or it will burn your relationships. It will do one or the other. What you say matters. It has spiritual consequences. Number three, your tongue is like a barometer. It reveals what's going on in your heart. It's a marker of your spiritual maturity. If you want to see how well you're doing in your relationship with God, take some time to evaluate what's coming out of your mouth when you relate to other people. You can harness the power of navigation and steer your tongue in the right direction by putting things in order at the helm of your ship. I love the way James wraps up chapter 3. He says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So if you want more peace in your conversation, you need to put your hand to the tiller and take responsibility for what you say. And recognize that you can't manage it alone. You can't do it alone. We don't have what it takes to control our tongues. We need the power and the wisdom that comes from God above. And as you rely on Him, He will change you from the inside out and transform your speech and bring you more peace in your words. Perhaps you felt convicted as we've been looking at this passage and you're going, "Ouch, that's me. I have not been using my words wisely. I'm like the captain of that Greek ferry, and I've just let my ship drift onto the rocks. I've just responded out of anger, and I've said things harshly, and I'm bearing the consequences." Well, the good news is that if we lack wisdom, we can ask of God. James 1:5 says He gives to all generously and without criticizing. Isn't that wonderful? God gives generously to us without criticizing. So we need to ask for wisdom and it will be given. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word and thank You that it is so very practical. Thank You that You give us instruction on how to manage that muscle between our teeth that wields so much power. Heavenly Father, I pray that we may be reliant upon You to help us steer our vessel. Help us take responsibility. Help us not blame others for the way we speak. Father, I pray that I may be responsible in saying, "Yes, God, I am accountable to You, and I want to say what's right, and I want to steer my ship in the right way." So, Father, I pray for all the women in this room and the women who are listening to this broadcast around the world. I pray, Lord, that they may examine their hearts, that they may step up to the helm that they have neglected for so long, and begin to put their hands to that tiller and steer their tongues and their lives in the right direction. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Well, that's my friend Mary Cassian, challenging all of us to examine the words we've been using. Mary will be right back with some practical tips on how to use our words wisely. Now, I hope that after hearing this important message, you'll take some time to follow up, not just to be a hearer of the word, but to be a doer. Ask the Lord to show you if there's any area of your speech that needs to be brought under His control. I know that as I listened to Mary give this teaching, there were things that came to my own heart, and I realized this is an area where I need God's grace and God's transforming power.
To help you go deeper in this important topic, we'd love to send you the Power of Words Scripture Memory Cards. This new resource from Revive Our Hearts will give you wisdom with your words to study, take on the go, or share with a friend. There's no better way to spend your time than working on memorizing and meditating on a passage of Scripture. And this is a great way to do that. When you donate any amount, the Ministry of Revive Our Hearts will send you our Words Matter bundle. This includes the scripture memory cards and a 4-week devotional by Nancy called The Power of Words. You'll gain rich biblical insight from the book of Proverbs as you examine your heart and what comes out of your mouth. When you support this ministry, you're helping to keep the door open for us to speak truth to women all around the globe. Visit reviveourhearts.com to give today or call us at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. And be sure to ask for your Words Matter bundle. Also, be sure to check out our new live video cast, Grounded, a daily infusion of hope and perspective. You can catch Grounded each weekday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central. Find out more at reviveourhearts.com or look up Revive Our Hearts on our YouTube channel. Now tomorrow, Mary will teach us how to dig out words that have become weeds in our hearts and how to replace them. Here she is to close our time with one practical way to follow up on the teaching that we heard today.
One of the best ways to take responsibility for your words is to actually use I statements. And that is, it does actually work for me taking responsibility for my words. So instead of saying, you're just rude, okay, telling your husband, you're rude. What could you say, how could you say that better? I was very hurt by what you just said. Or I feel that you're being rude, okay? Big difference, isn't there? Next time, especially when you're dealing with difficult situations, take ownership of your words and do use I statements. I think, I feel, I assume. You can express the same thought and the same sentiment, but take ownership of it when you speak those words.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth challenges you to take responsibility for your words. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.